Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
From the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center. And a hug from Gina Dell. You're messing up my hair.
Gina's got some things going on, doesn't she?
I tried to tell you.
She's got some stuff. She's got some stuff.
Edition. The I don't like to be late, you always say. And you weren't.
Yeah.
But boy, did you cut it close.
That was a minute early.
I heard Jesse's Sports Center going, and I saw you pull in.
Yeah, it was a tight window.
And I said,
tight Pella window this morning.
Never a doubt with the Big Fella edition. And the Wheels Up for Sao Paulo edition. Not for us, of course, but for the Packers and their short runways at Austin Straubel edition. Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything at WisconsinOnDemand.com. WisconsinOnDemand. Man, this place is huge.
Beautiful.
And we shot our Title Tones commercial here.
Yeah, right about in this exact same spot.
That's where the magic happens. A little, it's so big though, I feel it's a little echoey when I like talk really loud.
That one's sweaty.
We'll get a lot of people in here. They'll absorb the sound. I'm Jason Wilde, normally in Green Bay, but not today, as we are in Brookfield at the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center up of Blue Mound Road. Is that
right? Yeah, Blue Mound and Brookfield Road.
There you go.
There you go.
That's you. You used your Google Maps.
I got turned around a little bit, but yeah,
well,
got it figured
out. You're here now. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios. And from his now disclosed location here at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, it is the Packers Hall of Famer. It's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. Hello.
What a just random sweatshirt. Kansas City Royals sweatshirt. Like, that's a random deal. I love the colors. That's the old Auburndale Apache colors, the royal blue. But just kind of a random, like, how many times do you see a Kansas City Royals fan in Wisconsin?
Yeah, and I don't even know if Dylan's a Royals fan, if he's from
good-looking sweatshirt.
Kansas City, if okay. That was just what was clean, or he took
could
it
out be all those
laundry,
things. Yeah.
Stopped at the Goodwill down the street and just grabbed it on his way in. Whatever it may
options.
Be, we've got a group of great teammates that are going to help us through the course of today's show. But more importantly, we are here celebrating our great partnership with Pella and Gina's. Bringing in soda.
I don't know what
all kinds of
she's
stuff
a,
going
she's
on
a grinder. She's a worker.
I'm always concerned when we do this.
Why?
I'm not concerned about Pella. I'm not concerned about the logistics. I just am always distracted when I'm outside the basement. There's all these doors.
Yeah, you'll
there's
be
windows.
Right.
There's staffers here.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
You think so?
It's good for you to get a little stimulus outside of your cats.
It is. And the Packers getting a little stimulus of going to.
We get a picture of that plane. Did we get a, did somebody tweet out a picture of the plane? I was listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on the way down. It sounded like Wayne Larrivee had sent out a tweet. I'd like to see how big this plane is because they took off, what, 7:15 this morning?
Yep.
So I don't know if we have a picture, Jesse. That'd be great to throw up on the YouTube stream. That shouldn't be a problem, right?
Jesse. We'll get right on that for you, Tausch.
Thanks, buddy.
With proper credit. Jesse, are you all alone, and why aren't you here? What was the argument for not coming and getting, you know, bagels and soda and snacks and everything that you usually enjoy about road trips?
Yeah, you know, just other things happening this afternoon. It didn't really fit perfectly for me. I don't have any volleyball things going on. It has nothing to do with anything. No, just a couple other post-show things going on that I wasn't able to make it down today. But I'm glad that you guys are there, and I am jealous that I'm not getting any mini sandwiches.
Well, we've got all kinds of great things going on here today. Tausch will tell you a little bit about them coming up, and so will I. I did talk to a bunch of players yesterday about this trip to Brazil.
Yeah, what were your recommendations? Get some street meat.
The street tacos are excellent. I asked them, and Kenny Clark actually went to Brazil about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Is actually the resident expert in their locker room.
Okay.
He went to Rio. He did not go to Sao Paulo.
Okay.
But it was interesting talking with him, and maybe I'll send Jesse the audio of our conversation because we were talking in the locker room yesterday. But there are several guys that confirmed what we already do, which is they're not leaving the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's a whole lot of concern among them. As Kenny said, I'm sure we have top-level security and whatever else. It is really interesting to me just the way this whole thing has unfolded. And
like what? What's interesting to you about
it? It's interesting to me that the NFL is, I don't want to say two-faced. I don't want to say hypocritical.
Okay, I feel like you're going to say that without saying it, but okay.
But they want to grow their game and expand their game to a place where they don't want their players taking in the sights and sounds and smells and tastes and experiences of the city that they're in. That still bothers me. Now, we did talk to Matt LaFleur yesterday. He was a little more forthcoming about their plans, but the bottom line is that they're not going to go out and about in Sao Paulo at the NFL's direction. And I feel like in talking to Kenny, who knows a little more about Brazil than I do, surprisingly, that there are some great things about Brazil that are getting maybe not as much attention because you've got so many players, you know, expressing reservations or maybe having some misinformation that they have. So they just want to get to the game. They got their 10.5-hour flight, which is underway now. They'll get down there this evening.
Okay.
They'll rest up. They've got a walkthrough tomorrow, and then they'll play the game on Friday. In any way, do you feel, because one of the things that Eric Wilson, their veteran linebacker, said to me was that if you had told any of us when we were kids that we would play in the NFL and we would play a game in Brazil, we would all have signed up right away.
Yeah.
Would you have signed up? Would this be cool for you?
Yeah.
In your play? Like, what's you didn't go anywhere during your NFL career.
That's
outside
correct.
Of the U.S.
That's true.
So you would have been in on this?
Yeah, I would have loved the idea of London and, you know, going to Brazil. I think anytime you can do something unique, even though you can't maybe go and do all of the stuff that you could do on a bowl trip in college, which this is the most like thing that you could have. All of these guys, especially the fact that it's the opener and a lot of guys' first NFL experience or, you know, making a roster, guys are incredibly thankful for that opportunity. Now, that doesn't mean they wanted to do, you know, just like all, I think, workforces, you get your crusty old dudes that will look at it from a different perspective than the young guys that are just like, whatever. Yeah, what do you need? I'm there.
Right.
Well, that changes. And especially when you start adding in families and the other stuff, I think the concern level here is I don't know how many other times the NFL has had to mandate its teams to not go out. There have been other times where you would go on a trip and they would say, don't go into these areas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But to just say, don't go out at all, I think that is the part that is leaving people like you a little bit queasy about the whole operation, because how safe do they feel? Obviously, they don't feel awesome about it, or they wouldn't make those mandates. So in the grand scheme of things, the guys you talk to, the young players, it is you're super excited, A, to start your season, and to do something a little bit different, unique. I can assure you every one of these players will remember this trip, mm-hmm. however it goes. If it stinks and they get worked, you don't forget that either. But if it's an awesome experience and you get to taste a little bit of, you know, what Brazil has to offer, I don't know if they're going to bring in some Brazilian. I would hope they would do that at least into right. the hotel. But outside of that, because, you know, food makes a vacation.
I've heard that on this very
That
show.
Is where I think we're at with this entire operation, and hopefully that's the way these guys are viewing it.
Well, they did this with the Mexico City game that they had a few years ago. Our former ESPN Wisconsin teammate, Sarah Barshop, who now covers the Rams but at the time was covering the Texans, you know, several players told her that, and she reported it, and the NFL wasn't happy. I think what bothers me is that the NFL has these kind of guidelines or rules, mm-hmm. and yet doesn't want anybody to know about the rules because they know it doesn't look great, that they're expanding their game into a place, but then they're telling their players not to.
Yeah, I just, unless something happens, I think it's all a nothing burger. They're trying to protect themselves. They're trying to protect their players. They're trying to protect their shield. All of that. So this is what it is. Somebody has to sign up to do this. The Packers did not want to. I can't imagine Philadelphia is excited about giving up a home game to go do this.
No. They're probably less excited than the Packers.
They are less excited. And you're hearing that throughout the conversation from the other teams or from what Philadelphia is saying. But again, once it gets to be 8:00 Friday night, all of this is going to be water under the bridge. You're going to go play football. And then will it affect the teams how they approached this game? Yes. But once they're playing, they're playing. And all of that other stuff is donezo. And we'll just see how it shakes
out. So that was going to be my last question on this, because we have been critical of Matt LaFleur on how he handled London.
And I think he'd be critical of himself.
So now as you see the way – say the Packers have handled this, mm-hmm. and compare it to A.J. Brown and Darius Slay being more outspoken.
Well, Darius Slay came out and said today he's excited to go. Which I'm sure is
kind of like when Josh Jacobs had the misinformation about wearing green, mm-hmm. and then had to walk that back. But once the game kicks off, the game kicks off. But if we're going to criticize LaFleur,
yep.
for the way he handled London, I think it's safe to say that in the pregame lead-up, it would appear at least that the Packers managed this a little bit better than the Eagles did.
There is no question about that. And I think the fact that you're going to see a lot of Packer fans in that stadium, I can understand why Philadelphia is irritated that they have to give up a home game. And it looks like, again, probably some biased reporting, but it sounds and looks as if this is going to be more green and gold than green and silver.
Well, first of all, I don't think they're even wearing green in their uniforms. The Eagles aren't. They're wearing black and white uniforms.
Oh, that'll be nice and warm.
I think maybe white, but black trim, but we'll have to check that out.
Okay.
But yes, I would think it would be predominantly either Brazil green and yellow or Packers green and gold.
Yeah, I believe Green Bay is, you know, if they go down and win and play, and that's the part I don't know, because Philadelphia's talented. Philadelphia's roster, especially skill-wise, is much more proven than what Green Bay's is. But this is one of those things that will springboard a young football team. If you go down there and win a quote-unquote road game against one of the teams that you believe will be in the mix at the end of the year, A, you get a tiebreaker situation if you're all squared up with them. But B, it's just the confidence. It's not quite as important. I look at more like what the New York Jets are going through. If they get off to an 0-3 start, I think that ship might start – you might start seeing some people fleeing. Young teams, it actually does the opposite effect. If you're good and you have the right guys, and we saw that last year when a 2-5 start, there wasn't splintering. There was, let's get this blank figured out and let's tighten up. That's why I'm not as concerned if we don't get off to a red-hot start, because – I firmly believe the way this group is formed, they'll be able to withstand and withhold all of that. I don't feel that way about a Philadelphia team that splintered and fell apart last year. And I wouldn't feel that way about a lot of teams. Green Bay is in that position. That's why I'm so bullish on their prospects this year.
Well, we have some breaking news from our favorite show, Unsportsmanlike, that we're going to get to coming up. Not shocking news to me, anyway. But this is what I expected all along. It felt to me like it was love at first hearing.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll talk. Okay. We'll talk about that coming up. We also have breaking news here at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, where we've got some great news about some great opportunities that Gina Della and the team have going right now.
Indeed, they, you know, we do have that. But right now, Pella Windows and Doors, Wisconsin, they are the window and door equivalent of hitting for the cycle or starting off 8-0 in the NFL. Pella manufactures all of their own products, and each one of those products gets tested thousands of times to ensure it stands the test time. I might just start doing that right in here. We're in the Experience Center. I might start testing some of these sliding doors and some of these windows. But I know that quality craftsmanship and innovative design, they are built into every Pella product for timeless beauty and performance. Order up by September 30th. You get as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. And today we're out here. We're out here. KBN's going to be out here. Anybody that comes in and schedules an appointment, they're going to receive an additional $250 off of their window order. $250, boom, just pop in, sign, get a little deal, and boom, $250. And then you still are eligible. One lucky winner. You get your name in a hat or in a cheese fry helmet if Jesse comes down. And you can get $2,000 off of the window project. Certain restrictions do apply to that. But then there's also sandwiches. I see Gina's bringing sodas and waters and all kinds of snacks.
I see bagels.
I don't know. Is that what the snacks are? The sides?
Early, I think bagels, early sandwiches.
So come on in. We'll be here from 9 until, what, 5, I believe, is when the ESPN
Wisconsin.
You're staying
here all the way to
5? I will not be, but the ESPN Wisconsin team will be out here at the showroom, which is absolutely gorgeous. You get a good look at all of the new great products that Pella has to offer.
We will roll on here at the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center in Brookfield. Come on out, get a great deal on some windows, hang out with us, maybe get a bagel. Wilde and Tausch rolls on. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Trip to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center. This is where the magic of the title tones happened.
Yeah.
I was listening.
God, that was fun, wasn't it?
It was. I
wonder if Gina got a little scared when I started singing the headlines and she's like, he's too good of a singer now to do the title tones.
No, I don't think that's
not
what
how
happened.
That played out.
No, but I do think, you know, that obviously not only are they a great partner, but we love Gina the person. If I did have a complaint,
oh boy,
it's that I joined the title tones,
and then they fired the title
tones, and then
tones.
They stopped doing the title.
That's maybe more of a you issue than a Gina issue.
I think I'm a better singer than you, so why do you think it's a me issue? Maybe they just realized that you were getting ready to go off on a solo career.
Oh, I didn't do a solo career. You know, I didn't do solo. I actually ended up using other people more than myself on that. So
it's probably a good decision. All right, we are scheduled to speak with Michelle Schmalman, as I like to call her, because she has made her NFL fandom selection.
She did.
Spoiler alert: she wouldn't be joining our show had she picked.
Well, spoiler alert: they set up Hoodie to fail this morning. They had him on thinking that she was picking the Bears, and then she crushed the Bears with Hoodie on the show.
That's a bold strategy.
Yeah. Pat. Well, I think it endears a lot of Packer fans, the fact she's going after, and she spent time in Chicago.
Yeah.
She went after the Bears in a pretty good way, which think most Packer fans can respect and like.
So she's going to join us at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Jesse, who do we credit for the photo of the airplane? I don't want to be stealing people's material.
Nope. That is Simone Woolridge of TMJ4 in Milwaukee. It was on it this morning. All the Milwaukee news was out there.
So we did, when they were trying to come up with excuses not to play in this game, the runway length was one of those that were floated out there. Obviously, they safely took off from Austin Straubel International Airport, and it's international because I think they have an occasional flight to Canada. But today, they have a flight to Brazil. Is it funny to you that they took that they did not have to, you know, bus down to Milwaukee because they didn't have long enough runways? Does that tell you that they really, really wanted to get their way out of this trip?
Yeah, they tried to find. They tried to completely.
I'm washing my hair. I can't do it.
They came up with the Seinfeld list of excuses that Jerry had when he had that one dude that wanted to keep going to various basketball games with him, and he had to keep coming up. I'm tutoring my niece. I'm doing this. I give Mark Murphy a lot of credit. He didn't come flat out and say, we ain't going.
Yeah.
But what he did do is threw out little trial balloons of can't get an airplane big enough. The runway's too short. I don't know what other excuses he came up with, but I think instead of whining and pouting about it, eventually they just said, okay, this is for the greater good of the league. And now you have one of, I would argue, one of the sexier matchups of the NFC throughout the season is going to be played in an exclusive window, Peacock game, in a country that you're trying to expand your fan base in. So sometimes you have to do things strictly for the good of the league. This is one that is an attaboy to the Packers, and I think now Green Bay is probably looking at it and saying, well, now I don't want to give up a home game on those seasons we get nine home games. Let's limit that to every five cycles. If that's the case, this is another win for the Packers because, again, this will, in essence, be at worst a neutral site game, but more likely than not, a pseudo home game. And as Blue and I talked about yesterday, not having to deal with crowd noise or at least having to do silent counts, which you would have to do in Philly. Being able to check plays and be able to feel like you can communicate with your guys, those are things that always get underlooked by fans. And that's why I always say fans can make such a big difference in a game by being loud on second and longs and third and longs and really forcing opposing offenses and false starts and all of the other stuff that that noise can bring. I'm telling you, it's incredibly disruptive. And now the fact that that's not the case is going to be such a win for this team.
All right, so I made the wisecrack about the runways, but the bottom line is they are on a flight that's 10 and a half hours long. During my time covering this team, I've flown to San Francisco. I've flown to some other places in the U.S. that were longer flights. Mm-hmm. Nothing close to 10 and a half hours. You, as the worldwide traveler that you are, what are the – because we – I'll be honest, Matt LaFleur and the beat writers – made some wisecracks about Russell Wilson and running up and down the walkway between
the rows. No sleep.
Rows.
Hashtag no sleep.
What's your recommendation? What do you think? I talked to Kenny Clark yesterday. He said they had to be at Lambeau at 4:45 this morning to do check-in for the flight at the stadium. Then they bussed over to the airport. Mm-hmm. But he said he was actually going to stay up later last night,
so you could sleep on
kind of take a nap, and then get up to get to Lambeau on time, and then sleep on the plane. What is your go to approach for these?
Yeah, I can't sleep on
transatlantic
planes. I can't sleep on planes. I don't care if I'm in one of those beautiful pods or if I'm in a normal seat or if I'm in whatever. I can't.
Is so, that a sleep pattern thing or is that a comfortability?
Comfortability.
I'm a bigger guy.
I'd say it's. Mostly it's I'm a bigger guy. But
so
also,
that's – I ask because there's a bunch of other bigger guys in the same
there
scenario
are,
you are.
And I don't know how this plane is. I'm guessing it's going to be similar. I don't think they're all going to get sleepers, I would guess.
Wes Hodkowitz told me he'd be in a regular seat, but he thought that the players would have, like, sleeping-type deals.
That would be awesome for them, but I think it will be, you know, normal flights. It's you get a seat between you. and you're sitting normal, and all the big dogs, the coaches and front office people sit up in the front, which is fine. I always, you know, that was always something I was like, hey,
we're the ones who have to play.
Do y'all really need those comfy seats? But that's a, hey, man, the world is a
hierarchy.
You
never said anything?
No, I didn't. Well, behind people's backs and under my breath, I did.
Okay.
But that is, I think, how you approach that. And I look back at, you know, when Coach Alvarez would talk to, you know, come on our show and tell us the story about Tokyo and having the sleep specialist come on. And it felt like he thought by having that and then not having his guys sleep on the airplane in Michigan State, which at that point they both flew together on that plane.
Oh.
And he had Michigan State's guys are sleeping, and Barry's walking. Now, we knew we had their tail. We could kick their tails. They're sleeping. We're wide awake. And you know, then they get out and they practice right when they got to Tokyo. And I think he felt like that was a monster advantage to have his guys on the clock according to his sleep specialist. I'm sure Matt LaFleur and his team studied all that. But the fact that it's only a two-hour difference.
Right.
Get some sleep. But my guess is what I would do, I'd watch a movie and I'd play cards. And then that's what I would do for the duration of the flight. And I'd hope you get into a great sheep's head game or spades or Blu-ray or whatever the games might be. And I would hope that I'm winning and things are going well and it's, oh, we're here? That's always the goal for me.
And do some high knees up and down the
aisle. No, there won't be any high knees. There would be no high knees from Old T.
What there will be is Old T telling us about our great partnership with American Family Insurance.
And hey, Packer fans looking for the ultimate game day experience? Well, American Family Insurance has you covered. Picture this. Hit your very own VIP tailgate party, and you're cheering on the Packers from beautiful jaw-dropping seats. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes to win amazing game tickets, a private tailgate, exclusive Jordan Love merch, and much, much more. That sounds incredible, right? Well, don't miss out. Visit amfam.com/Packers to enter. Visit. You need to get that done by the stroke of midnight on October 21st.
Oh, this again.
See official rules at amfam.com/Packers. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
You somehow made the noise worse than yesterday. And
what do you mean?
Still
that wasn't
accurate with the stroke of midnight deal.
It was like a
it sounded like my dog choking on his food.
No, I was dropping my jaw.
Yeah. Okay. We will roll on live from the Pella Experience Center. I got an update, by the way. Like, I want people to come out and see us.
Okay.
Right? We want to get to see all these great doors. These things all slide out. It's amazing. But just so you know, if let's say you're busy today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you don't have time to come out and see Old T and Jay Bird live at the Pella Experience Center. You can also get that $250 off your window order, even if you just call and mention, hey, I know Old T.
Okay.
I heard it from Tausch. So there's that. If you can't swing by, Austin was just telling me this a minute ago. If you can't swing by, we're not going to hold that against you.
Okay.
You don't have to be present to get a good deal.
Sure.
But you can call as well and book that appointment. And then after all the appointments have been held, they will draw that one lucky winner who will get the additional $2,000 off their window project. Remember, certain restrictions do apply. All right, more from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience. Is Gina going to come on the show? Like, I feel like she's running around. She's got all kinds of different things going on. But she's
going
to find
she's got a lot of stuff going on. I'm sure she can join us. Yeah, she's always welcome. She knows that.
She knows that, but I just got to make sure everyone else knows that. More live from Brookfield at the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Like, share, and follow ESPN Madison everywhere. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok for more great content from ESPN Madison. This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Slow down. To know, have you lost?
as we roll on live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center, live in Brookfield. I really hope some folks will come out. There's a few that have already come through.
Okay.
And we look forward to more swinging by to see us. I'm curious, Tausch, when you look at Rashid Walker and the position that he's in now, you know, we became so spoiled by David Bakhtiari. And then for basically 2.5 years, we had no idea what they had without David Bakhtiari. And we went into training camp thinking, well, they drafted a guy in the first round. It's competition time for Sheed and Jordan Morgan. That never happened. Sheed's been the guy the whole time. Rob Domofsky has a piece up at ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com about his journey. But, Tausch, when you look at this, how do you feel about where they stand with him as their left tackle and with their offensive line as a whole?
Yeah, I think with Rashid, you feel good, but you still I almost look at Rashid Walker as I do Jordan Love. The fact that they struggle a little bit early, which is to be expected as a young player, and now Rashid Walker has been kind of basically ordained as the next left tackle for a while until or if he shows that he can't. But by all accounts, the fact that you didn't even see any type of push by Jordan Morgan as the potential left tackle made me feel like they really like what Rashid Walker's done. He's built himself up. He's handled the, I guess, adversity of, hey, there's a first-round pick. He comes out right away and says he wants to be the left tackle, and that's squashed. And doesn't miss any reps in camp. It's just been the guy. So I think the goal is going to be that he becomes the next great left tackle. I think that's what you hope. And whether or not that's how it shakes out, we'll have a good idea as this season starts unfolding. But you have to be very excited about where he's at, Elton Jenkins. You feel great about that left side of the offensive line. And then, you know, the right side, you have maybe your best player in Zach Tom, but the uncertainty is at the right guard spot. And I'm not as worried about that as maybe some, because I think Sean Ryan can play. And even if you have to spell him a little bit, you let your young guy learn, get better, and maybe end up taking the job. So you have a little bit of friendly competition, some platoonage, and then you feel really good as long as those guys stay healthy, which I don't think any of us can expect that's going to happen the entire way. But if it does, you feel like this is going to be one of the better groups in the league.
So in Rob's story, and I remember talking about this with Rashid during the offseason, he came out of Penn State and he was a seventh-round pick. But it wasn't necessarily that he was a seventh-round talent per se. It was concerns about this knee issue that he had developed at Penn State. You know, people didn't – look, you had an incredibly successful career as a seventh-round pick. People didn't know how good you were because you didn't get the opportunity until your last year at Wisconsin. In his case – you know, this was a major concern. Rob wrote about how there was a major injury waiver within his contract, that if this right knee issue degenerated quickly, Packers were going to be off the hook with him. When you get a player, and I know you don't like it, but whether it's you who has an 11-year career or Rashid Walker who is now their starting left tackle and looks like their guy not only of the present but of the future, how fortunate are you as a team to have a guy that you were able to get at that draft position? And B, does being drafted there ever really leave you? Does that chip always kind of stay with you no matter what the reason is that you're picked there?
Yeah, no, that will always stay with you. And the only way it really gets alleviated is when you get your next contract and it kind of verifies that you maybe should have been picked a lot higher. But that is just like Tom Brady, who is the greatest football player we've ever seen. Championship wise, it still to this day drives him as an announcer. I'm sure you're going to hear as he's doing the, I think he's doing the Browns Cowboys, you'll hear him talk about that hunger and that drive of six other quarterbacks or whatever that number was that was drafted ahead of him. And that has been a point for him to be spurred upon to constantly work to prove that he belongs. Mm-hmm. When you're, and this is a quote we say all the time on this show, but it is the most true thing in the NFL. When you're a top round, when you're a first round pick, you have to consistently prove to people that you can't play. And when you're a seventh round pick or undrafted, you have to continually prove that you can play. And that is what Rashid Walker, now he's proven that he can play, but can you do it again? And, oh, are you talented enough? Why did you go in the seventh round? There's still all of those question marks that will be in play. And that's what Rashid Walker is always going to be fighting against because of where he is picked.
When I look at him and I look at what he has done in the time that we've been around him, I mean, remember, he did not play a single offensive snap his rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he basically – he was on kind of that Goody redshirt program where you're a draft pick and we like your potential, so even though you haven't really shown us anything – is that something that you think, when you look at what Goody has done, everybody gets kind of a year's grace? Obviously, they didn't do that with Kalen King, who ended up on the practice squad. They didn't do that with Michael Pratt. But everyone else, like Travis Glover, their sixth-round pick, they're kind of doing the same thing with him, right?
Well, I think within reason. If you show that your effort and your work and all of that is not where it needs to be, I don't think Goody will have any problem cutting guys. Like, I think Ted... he's going to keep guys. He was not going to let guys go. In this case, I do think you look at it and say, can we develop him? Can this guy be a player? And if he is, you're excited about it. And you don't want to give up on somebody that you felt good enough about having a draft. That's a draft pick. You want to make sure you see that through. The last thing you want to see is you draft a guy, you develop him, and then he goes and stars somewhere else. You want to see the fruits of your thought process play out.
So if you're not lazy, if you show the work ethic.
That's the beauty of having a guy in your building, is that you know how they approach things. Are they on time? Are they going to show up and work hard? Are they going to learn the playbook? Are they coachable? And when you get that, you have a really good understanding of, well, this guy has the talent. Now I know what he's all about, because you can scout guys and look at the draft and, you know, go through all of the numbers and everything else. But if there is not any if you don't see that, you're just guessing. Once you see it, you know, really probably by the middle of June, when you have guys in there for the offseason, you know what they're about. You know how they will respond to adversity. You'll know how they respond to coaching. And you'll get a good glimpse of what that player could be. And that's obviously what they felt with Rashid Walker. And it's paid off handsomely for the Packers, because you're talking about the receiver position and your offensive tackles. And outside of quarterback, those are your big money makers.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the Green Bay Packers are paying literally, not literally, but nothing.
Minimum wage.
In comparison to the rest of the league. And that's why you can go and spend on X. And you can spend on Kenny Clark. And you can spend on Rashawn Gary. That's why you're able to do all of that when you're paying a quarterback top dollar. Normally, you have to start really looking selectively. The Packers have a 1 or 2 year window where Jordan Love's cap number is still very low, mm-hmm. that you're going to be able to continue to supplement. And, you know, eventually you're going to have to pay Zach Tom. And you're going to have to pay 1 or 2 of these wideouts. You're able to go and get a Josh Jacobs and pay him market rate at running back, which normally you're always trying to find that young guy to do that. And right. I think down the road that is where Green Bay will have to go, because that's not a spot that they want to spend a ton of money on.
Can I ask you something real quick about the offensive line while we were talking about Rashid Walker?
Only real quick.
Okay. My brother-in-law Chris and I were talking when we were up north a couple weeks ago. Every year it feels like when we go into this, there's questions about the Packers' offensive line. It's like, is the offensive line going to be able to hold up? And they're replacing somebody or multiple people. And then every year, by the time we get to the end of the season, it's like, well, that's one of the strengths of the team. It felt like everything was perfectly fine all along. Very rarely has there ever been an offensive line that doesn't hold up all season long, or not, you know, necessarily injury-wise, but it's not an issue throughout the course of the season in most cases. Why is that in Green Bay compared to other places where it seems like the offensive line is always a trouble point?
Yeah, well, you have a guy drafting that understands what measurables you need to have to play. And then most of the time that means you're grabbing left tackles from college. There's very few exceptions where if it's center. But almost everybody that plays any of the other positions has the athleticism to play at the top level in college at left tackle. So their footwork, and you know that they're athletic enough to play, because the days of finding like a big, strong bulldoze and road grader, you don't really care as much about that. It's a nice thing to have if you can, but really you have the feet to do it, and when you can do that, you can train. And what I think Steno and Campy, and you can go back to Beck, the entire operation, they're good coaches that train guys in multiple ways that you can step in and you're not going to miss a beat. They do a great job of cross-training their guys, and it allows for you to not have any glaring weaknesses when you have an injury. Now, part of that is you had Cliffy and David Bakhtiari, who are a couple of the best left tackles. You know, Bulaga is a really good right tackle too. You start looking at it, guys develop and grow, and you have a lot of confidence because you have a really good quarterback and you have a lot of success, and success begat success, and that's how you build a culture that continues to do what they're doing.
And this is a little bit like the conversation about Jordan Love and people thinking it was preordained versus he had to work his tail off to have the success he's had. Goody deserves credit for realizing that he was neglecting augmenting the offensive line. His first two drafts, 18, he drafted one offensive lineman, Cole Madison, who never played a snap for the Packers. 19, he drafted one offensive lineman. Now, it was Elgton Jenkins, who turned out to be a fantastic player, but you can see in the draft subsequent to that, he has made major 2-3 pick investments every year, and that's another component in why they are where they are.
Yeah, you just realize you're not gonna hit gold on every pick. You just want to get the right body types and the right athletes in here so that you're going to be in position to have guys that can turn into being good football players. And fortunately, that's what we've been able to do.
All right, Tausch is going to tell us about Coors Light in a second, but we're going to play trivia next so we can be ready for newly minted Packers fan Michelle Smallman to join us from Unsportsmanlike. Jesse, what's the category and what caller do you want?
It is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday today. And I even sent it on the show sheet. A lot of times I don't put it on the show sheet, so Tausch doesn't see it.
Tausch hasn't looked.
I'm very confident Tausch did not check a show sheet today. So we're good.
Very true.
All right, caller 10 right now, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 10. To play Wilde and Tausch trivia. I'm going to go get a bagel and a beverage. There's no Coors Light over there, but if there was, the mountains would be blue.
Yeah, they would. Coors Light brewed with that 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill in those mountains. Oh, those mountains. Make sure they're blue. That's when you know Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
Trivia next, live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
In the immortal words of Kevin Green, it is time for Wisconsin Geography Trivia. Live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center in Brookfield. Let's go to our contestant. It is Sean in nearby Waukesha. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys.
The trivia is Wisconsin Geography Trivia. Tausch has not seen the questions.
I have not.
Nor the answers, so he will play along with you, sort of. It sounds like you might be in your vehicle, Sean. Is that true?
Yes, I'm in my vehicle.
Okay, so you won't be able to see Tausch giving you hints.
Are you on your way to go see the guys at Pella Windows and Doors in Brookfield?
I thought about it. I got a job site that's real close by. You guys
come
giving
on
out
over. Grab yourself a
there?
Bagel. You got 2 hours and 4 minutes right. left of the show, so swing on by after you stop by the job site. All right, here we go. Question number one right in on. Wisconsin Geography Trivia is this. Which of these is not one of the highways you can take from Milwaukee all the way to Green Bay without ever having to deviate course? Is it I-41, I-43, or I-65?
I'm saying it would be I-43.
I said nodded there, right?
You did.
Okay.
What, that, you did.
That is one of
you
them
did.
That you can't take.
It's 41.
And yeah, you can take 41 as well. It's I-65.
Yep. Goes towards Indy and down south.
Yeah. All right. Let's bounce back.
Not the easiest first question we've seen.
Well,
I thought more like bingo.
I thought 65 would be kind of like a giveaway because it's Tausch's number, but
that's a real highway.
It is an actual highway.
Like
yeah.
St. Louis.
Indeed.
I did Sean dirty there. I'm sorry, Sean.
Tough one for Sean.
Well, you're good. Nice to, I should have known better.
It's nice that Jesse apologized. Question two, Sean. Let's bounce back here. Here we go. Longitudinally, which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest west? Farthest west. Is it Campbellsport, Hustisford, or Ripon? Campbellsport, Hustisford, or Ripon?
I got it down to two.
I guess I'm going to say Ripon. I don't even know those other two places.
They're fun to say, I can tell you that. Tausch, agree or disagree
furthest
with Ripon?
West.
Farthest right? West.
So west. Ripon's east, right? Isn't Ripon over by Green Bay?
Ripon is on the way from Green Bay to Madison.
I'm going to say Hustisford.
Hustisford.
I call it. I've heard it both ways.
One of you is right.
Well, one of you is correct. And it's Sean.
Oh, good job, Sean.
All right, we're back on the winning streak.
I think we should check that because I feel like Ripon's pretty far west.
I mean, they're... Well, we were saying furthest west, and all of them are fairly east, but Ripon is the furthest west of the three.
Isn't Hustisford down here in the West Bend?
It's Hustisford, and it's in Dodge County, I believe. If not, it's just outside of it, but it's near Beaver Dam.
Somebody fact check Jesse. I'm not sure he's right, but good job, Sean.
We'll get Dylan on the case. All right, question three, Sean, is this. Which of these Wisconsin cities shares its name with a retired NASA space shuttle, which was used for missions from 1992 through 2011. Okay, which of these is the name of a space shuttle? Is it Cascade, Endeavor, or Arena? Tough question.
Wow. I'm going to go Endeavor, but I'll say Endeavor.
Yeah, I'm gonna second you on that. I think it's Endeavor also.
Endeavor is correct.
Nice.
There was obviously Columbia and Challenger. There was Atlantis. You got any other?
Are we power ranking space shuttles now?
I'm just trying to remember the name. Yeah. Right. Well, all that matters is Endeavor was one of them, and Sean got it right. Sean, way to bounce back. The rare missed the first question. Get question two and question three correct. Well done. You got three entries into Friday's drawing. Thanks for playing, buddy. Maybe we'll see you a little bit later here at Pelham.
Hey, love you. Love you guys. Go, Pack, go. I love you guys.
Got to get it in before Jesse cuts you off. Well done.
He's got a quick finger.
That's smart.
That is Will D. Tausch Trivia. We are scheduled to speak with Mishmel Schmalman from Unsportsmanlike, who has selected her NFL Bachelorette new team to be a fan of. She is scheduled to appear to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. That'll happen in a couple of minutes. Want to remind you, if she is going to be a Packers fan, then the next step is to get Packers checking from Associated Bank. Not only do you get your Packers debit MasterCard and 10% off the Packers Pro Shop, both in-store and online, but you also get the best customer service in the industry, all kinds of retail banking awards throughout the Midwest that they've received and continue to receive. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. The 10 o'clock hour live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center in Brookfield kicks off in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Will D. and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Will D. and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.